plans for you. Know that you're not doing this by yourselves. Amen? That God knows what he's doing, and there's a plan. There is a practice that he's sending us through where he is watching, monitoring, developing us, overseeing our struggles, and strengthening us and bringing us through that. What a beautiful thing. So I put in my notes that this word kavah, this Hebrew word, I normally talk about Greek words, but this Hebrew word struck me this week because I think so much about talking to the Father, which is our lesson in Sunday school, and so much about prayer, which is what we're talking about in these sermons. So much about our prayer life has to do with waiting. It's almost like God deliberately brings situations into our lives that sometimes appear to not have a quick fix. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prayed for God to give him an answer. And it took 21 days. Now you may say to yourself, well, if I could get an answer to a situation in 21 days, I could live with that. Especially if it's a problem that you've been going through for 21 years or 21 months or 21 weeks. Waiting 21 days does not seem like it's that long. But when we have problems and struggles and challenges that are more time sensitive than 21 days, when our window isn't as wide as 21 days, then our situation becomes more urgent. And so that's where God steps in. And he gives us the ability to practice patience. He gives us the ability to kavah, to wait intentionally, to wait with expectation, to wait with confidence, to wait with purpose, to wait with hope, to wait knowing that God is up to something good. So Jeremiah said it so well. Jeremiah said over in Jeremiah 29, 11, he said, for I know you, and all, we all know this verse, we all know this particular passage. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now I know this was to Israel. This was to Israel at a really difficult time. Nebuchadnezzar had just invaded the lands with his Babylonian armies and took all the best and brightest and took them away in captivity and left behind the remnants, devastated, demolished, their homes destroyed, their occupations dismantled, their lives upended, family members killed or taken away, and they were just left there with the rubble. Remember how Nehemiah found them in Nehemiah chapter 8 when he went back. He asked for permission from the king to go. He was the king's cupbearer. He asked permission, could he go and rebuild the walls? Because the land was desolate. There was no walls. There were no walls. There was no temple, no house of worship. And he was granted permission to do that. Well, this is during that time. This Jeremiah wrote during the time of the dispersion, during the time of the invasion and devastation of Israel. And there's nothing but rubble left. And Jeremiah gives this amazing word of encouragement. He tells this devastated people, these homeless people, these wall-less people in this city. And it was just unfathomable to not have a wall around your city back then. You were basically considered nothing but a camper if you didn't have a wall. He told these people that were desolate and devastated and defeated, he said, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." See, that word hope, that expectancy, that's part of kavah. That's part of waiting. I'm waiting with a promise. I'm waiting with expectations. I'm on the difference is, and this is important. The difference is that most of the time when we're waiting, we're on our timeline. We create deadlines. We create a sense of urgency. And God says, no, kavah, waiting on the Lord, Psalms, as I stated in Psalms 37, waiting on the Lord, as Jeremiah explained in Jeremiah 29:11, is about waiting with God's timetable, waiting with inside of God's time framework. I know it's an abstract concept. I get it. I struggle with it. I understand how frustrating it is when we can't have a binary type relationship where everything is, you know, yes or no, you know, right now or not at all. It would be great if things were that binary, that black and white, that cut and dry. But that's not how God works always. Sometimes God is, boom. We ask, it happens. He wants it to take place, it's done. Instantaneously, almost while the prayer is still on our lips, God has dispatched the answer. God does work like that sometimes. But a lot of times, perhaps more often than not, God is on this, what appears to be this extended timeline, where God doesn't act instantaneously on our behalf the way we want him to. So I just need you to know that God's delay is not God's denial. That just because God isn't doing it on your timeline doesn't mean that God's not doing it. Waiting is also trusting and believing. It's not just blind hope. It's not a pipe dream. Kavah, waiting on the Lord, hoping, trusting in the Lord, is as concrete as knowing that God has already done it. Matter of fact, that's what faith is defined as over in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. What is it? Faith is not only tangible, because it's referred to as being the evidence of things hoped for. It's not a pipe dream. It's not just some systematic or some dreaming or hope or wish. It's not a wish that we're expecting to come to in the future. It's more than that. Faith is more substantive than that. He says that it's not just about a dream, it's substance and it's evidence. And when we think of substance and evidence, we think of having tangible, concrete proof. So the writer of the Hebrews uses, and Elder Beacham just did an amazing job teaching us the book of Hebrews. We just completed it a few weeks ago. And one of the things we spent significant time in is in the 11th chapter, the Hebrews Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame of these believers. And we learned about faith. And I love those two words that are associated with faith or kava, waiting, and that is substance and evidence. God doesn't just leave us, you know, hanging to a dream, hanging to a thought, a wondering. God doesn't do that. Evidence and substance is concrete. It's palatable. It's physical. It's, you know, we can take it to the bank. And that's what God does for us. So I pray that this week, this month, you will, as Micah, and I love the book of Micah, so many good things in Micah, but in 7:7, he says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord, and I will wait. There's that word again, that wait, kavod. I will wait with purpose. I will wait with hope. I will wait with expectancy that God is going to do it. That God is not going to leave me hanging. That he's going to do it. And in the process, he's going to bring me into his orbit. He's going to, even if I have to come dragging and kicking and screaming, he's going to bring me into his time frame, his orbit, his timing for things. I love that idea. And I pray that we learn that idea. I'm trying to learn that idea. I'm trying to learn. Patience is not something that comes organically with me. It's not a natural trait that I have. So learning to wait, learning to pause, learning to breathe, learning to hope with expectation is counterintuitive for me and maybe others like me that are used to sort of taking the bull by the horns and just getting things done. No, sometimes with God, there is no bull and there are no horns. Sometimes with God, there is no handle. There is nothing to hold on to. Where sometimes we just feel like, Lord, I'm in a free fall. I can't grab a branch. I can't grab a tree, a vine. I'm just falling, crashing and burning. Help me. I believe God sometimes walks us through those situations just to teach us how to trust him. Sometimes just to teach us how to pray. Hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. Maybe I need to shake things up a little bit. I believe that the Lord brought persecution to the first century church because the Christians just kept hanging around Jerusalem. They just kept hanging out. And the Lord said, hey, wait, didn't y'all hear the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19? It may start here, but you need to go to Judea and to Israel and to the uttermost part, Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. Get to stepping. You can't just hang out here and have church among yourself, my four, no more. We're just going to shout and have a good time while the world is literally going to Hades. No, you need to get out there. Good news. You have good news in you. You have the gospel in you. I think that's why the Lord was so stern, for the lack of a better word, so stern with Elijah holding up in a cave, and you had the power to bring down fire to destroy 450 false prophets that worship a pagan Baal. I gave you the power to bring back a young man from the dead who had died and bring hope to a starving woman during a famine. I gave you all this power and you're going to be holed up in a cave? Are you kidding me? I think that's how it is with some of us. We got all this dunamis in us. We got all this power. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities and callings and anointings. He's charged us with gifts. He's given us insight and discernment. He's given us the ability to reason and to give hope and give help and give service. And we're holed up in a cave. That cave might be our home, our job, our career, our passions, our desires, our thirst, whatever it is that's entrapping you, whatever it is that's shackling you, whatever it is that's holding you back. from getting God's best done in your life. That's your cave, and you need kavah. You need to wait with expectations and occupy till I come. Let's get busy. God needs us out in the field. He needs us doing something, not just chilling on the couch. So the New Testament equivalent, I'm closing. The New Testament equivalent might be Luke 19:13, which the Lord talks, gives the parable of the minas. He says, occupy till I come. Get busy. Get busy. I got things for you to do. I got things for you to accomplish. So he says, occupy, handle your work. Take care of business. Don't sit around. Be active. Let those gifts shine through. Let that smile come through. Give someone a cup of water. Give someone an encouraging word. Give someone a phone call with something good to say. Shoot someone a text or a tweet that's uplifting, that's building, that's positive, that moves the needle upwardly. Give someone some hope. Give someone encouragement. Give someone some inspiration. Let's be useful. Let's occupy. We wait, but we wait with purpose. We occupy with work. So really, kavah, that word is about faithful waiting. But Jesus took it a step further in the New Testament. He says, occupy. I talk about that all the time. One is kavah is faithful waiting. Occupy is faithful working. While I'm occupying, I'm working. So I'm being faithful both cases, but while I'm waiting, I'm working. While I'm in kavah, I'm occupying. I'm taking care of business. I'm getting something done. I'm moving the needle spiritually in my life. Even if it's like Nick Chubb said, 1% improvement every day. I'm making progress. I'm doing something. I'm bringing some fault, some sin to the foot of the cross. I'm asking God to deliver this from me. Take this bad habit away. Take this fault away. Help me with this stumbling block, this impediment, these weights that doth so easily beset us. Let me bring them to the cross. Help me to move forward in my life. Help me to be more pleasing in your sight. I pray that you will remember this word, kavah, that you will remember to wait. And in closing, I'll read to you Isaiah 40, probably very familiar passage to many of you. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 28 through 31, it says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord, Yahweh, our God, Jehovah, is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. I just want to pause there because I think the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to just set this up. He's setting us up. When you start getting that kind of background, haven't you heard? Haven't you understood? The Lord is everlasting. He never grows weak. He never grows weary. The measurements of his understanding are immeasurable. The depths of his understanding are immeasurable. That's the God we serve. I'm just putting that out there right now, up front, before I say the rest of what I have to say. I believe Isaiah may have inferred that this is the God I'm about to tell you about. This is the God whom we serve. He is the one who chooses to call us friend. He calls us friend. He calls us son. He calls us daughter. And we're able to call him Abba. Abba, Father. Dear Daddy. Love you, Daddy. My Daddy. my daddy. It says in verse 29 that he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I can relate to that. I'm the weak. I'm the powerless. I come before you, Lord. I got nothing. I got nothing. I don't know what to do. I'm like King Jehoshaphat over in 2 Chronicles 20. I got nothing. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't have any solutions. I don't have any answers. Our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. We're outnumbered 3-1 here. So Isaiah says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths, or just recently saw the movie again, my cousin Vinny, even youths, even youths become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those, here's the kicker, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. King James Version says, I believe something like, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's kavod. That's waiting. That's what God is doing for us. And that's what he will empower us to do in the meantime. In the meantime, we will walk and not faint. In the meantime, we will run and not grow weary. In the meantime, we will soar as though we have the wings of eagles. In the meantime, we will press forward. In the meantime, we will make it from point A to point B. In the meantime, we will somehow get over. I look back and I wonder, my soul wonders how I got over. Well, he gets us over. Somehow, some way, he gets us from here to the next step. We don't see that in the moment. But just look back over your lives. Look at the proof. Look at the facts. Look at what he's already done for you to get to this point. Whatever age you're at, however long you've been around, 71 years, like in my case, 60 years for some of you, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, somehow you got over. Somehow you made it to such a time as this. Such a time as this. That's what Uncle Mordecai said. Uncle Mordecai said to in the book of Esther, he said that Queen Esther, he said, hey, how do you know? Rhetorical question. How do you know, Esther, the God having brought you to this place for such a time as this? God is bringing us to a place. He's bringing us somewhere. You're not staying static. Status quo is not the word of the day. That's not what God does. God's always moving us forward. There might be times we need to stand down to wait on the Lord and see the hand of the Lord. But that, even that is a step forward. Even that represents progress. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We ask you for help and health. We ask you for heat and comfort and warmth. We ask you for protection for our loved ones and our family members of the body of Christ in Texas, in Tennessee, any other state that might be listening to this message this morning or later on. We just ask you, Lord, for protection against the elements, against the adversary and other areas, against our enemy who's always trying to take us down, take us out. We ask you for help. We ask you for strength while we kavah, while we wait with purpose, while we occupy with work until you return. May we not get lazy and slothful. May we not become distracted and unfocused. May we not become inundated and absorbed into the daily grind of life and get caught up into the world's system. Keep us pure. Keep us separated. Keep us in the world, but not of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Our Beecham announcements, I don't think 10.